Good morning. A couple weeks ago, a friend sent me an email and had a story in there about a Christian that was on the beach. And he noticed that some neighbors of his, they had their chairs out and their ice chests and so forth, and they weren't around. And the tide starts coming in a little bit and starting to rise. And so he moved their chairs back to keep them from being swept out in the ocean. And he kept looking for them. Finally, they showed up and he goes over and tells them of his good deed. And they just, thanks. And he's like, kind of let down, thinking, you know, well, I did this. And all they said was, thanks. And they went on about their rat killing and so forth. And he was kind of let down, thinking, man, I wish somebody would have, you know, done a little bit more. Then it dawned on him the words of Jesus in Matthew, the 6th chapter, about your charitable deeds. And that's what our lesson is going to be about today, where Jesus explained how they should do their charitable deeds. He had an expectation. And he was kind of let down. Then it kind of dawned on him, why did I do that? Why was I expecting them to give me this big fanfare over moving some beach chairs and an ice chest back? You know, they responded with thanks. But he had in his mind a bigger expectation. And I'd like for us to, now, before we get into this, need to lay some groundwork down. I'm not saying that we shouldn't thank people. People need to be thanked, but this is more about the person doing the charitable deeds. You know, it wouldn't be proper for things to be done and we just let it go. You know, we shouldn't have the attitude, well, we don't want our thank you to be their reward. You know, that's just common courtesy to thank people and to acknowledge when somebody does something. But it's more, and when we look at the verse, we'll see it's coming from within the heart of the doer of the deed. And Jesus, in Matthew 6, and I'm glad Daryl kind of went back to chapter 5. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is part of Jesus talking to the crowds. And in chapter 6, which this is, you know, all still part of that Sermon on the Mount. You know, scholars divided it into chapters and verses centuries later for us to be able to study better and so forth. But this is one continuous thought of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is saying in verse 1, he says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by men. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be seen, may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly.
Amen.
There in Matthew 6, Jesus starts out talking about charitable deeds. He goes into the same thought, just in case you missed it, about charitable deeds. He talks about the same thing in the next thought about prayer. Don't let your prayers be all flowery just to get that slap on the back by somebody. Oh, that was such a gorgeous prayer. If that was your motive, That pat on the back is the only thing you're going to get out of it. And then he goes right into the next thought about when you fast. Jesus is talking about the people that are doing these things. The concepts are the same, whether it's charitable deeds, prayer, fasting, whatever we do. Don't do it to be seen by men. Don't do it for that pat on the back. Don't be tooting your own horn. I tell you, some people toot their own horn like they're a bugler in the army or something. We're not to do that. Amen. You know, or when we pray, there is nothing more personal than our prayers to God. And Jesus was talking here in this next passage about when you're praying, not a public prayer here. We're not talking about a public prayer, but a prayer when you're out there to be seen by people. A prayer to God between you and God. But you're doing it for show. And then the fasting. And this concept, we see this all the way back in the Old Testament. In Zechariah 4 and 7, verses 4 and 5, the Lord's, you know, asking the people, you know, when you fasted and mourned, did you do it for me? For me? Did you really do it? Or was it for something else? So this concept has been around a long time. You know, what is the motivations that you have? And that's what I want to look at now. Again, laying some groundwork. We have to be careful as people not to assign motives to other people. Because we have no idea. I have no idea what is in another brother or sister's heart. A lot of times, we think that we can assign why somebody does something. Even if they say, here's a little psychology thrown at you, even if somebody says they're doing something for a certain reason, that may or may not be the ultimate reason. They may have some other reason that they're not even aware of. But again, this lesson is not about our applying the motives to the individual, but it's more for the doer. There are lots of different reasons why people may do something. And this is looking at your charitable deeds. And sometimes people do it for the, you know, as obvious, Jesus said this. You know, some people do it for the praise or the attention, to be seen by men. Some people do it for validation, that they need that validation, that what they're doing is right, that what they're doing, that they're on the right track. They need that constant reaffirmation. Now, from the other end of it, and this can be a lesson some other time in the future, but people need those things. We as their brothers and sisters need to provide that, but this is the people that are doing the charitable deeds. If their sole motivation was for the attention, Jesus says that's wrong. If it's to buy somebody's friendship, you do something nice for somebody. And I'm sure we can think back in our lives where we've maybe run across somebody like that just flower, you know, laid gifts at your feet and tried to buy your friendship. I've got dear friends that are filthy rich, and I've got dear friends that don't. The only thing they got in their pocket's a hole. And that's fine. I like, my friends are my friends because they're my friends.
Amen.
But some people, they do something good sometimes. And again, I don't want to play that judgment game. Because I don't always know. Sometimes people do things to try to buy friendship. Sometimes they do things to make the other person obligated. You bought me lunch now, and now it's your turn to buy me lunch. Or I've taken you out to a movie or whatever. Now it's your turn. You owe me. I was your friend. I was your friend when you needed it, and now you owe me something. Sometimes just out of insecurity, you do good things. Then there's the ulterior motives. We see that a lot in the world. And Jesus sometimes was talking about this. You know, there's a lot of people that donate to a charitable organization, not out of the goodness of their heart. They need a tax break. Or they're getting ready to run for office. And they got to be seen as, oh, they've done this for this children's club or whatever. And we just need to make sure when we're doing something that our motives are right. Because Jesus condemned, if you're doing it for any other reason than out of love, you're just throwing it to the wind. In John 12, verse 43, Jesus is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." There's the problem. There's the rub right there. That they loved the praise of men. And if that was the case, that love of men, that's the only reward they're going to be getting, rather than the praise of God. You know, that slap on the back from men, it won't go any farther than that. They're not going to get one from God. Now, some of the things, reminders for us and they're going to be scriptural, is we need to have proper motives when we do something. When we do something good for somebody, we need to have the proper motives so it will benefit us. And when you do without any expectation. It's awful nice to be validated. It is awful nice to be recognized for your efforts. I mean, that's just common courtesy. Our moms and dads raised us better than that, to validate somebody else, to be thankful. Okay? But when you do something, do it without any expectation of a return. And do it as if it was for God.
Amen.
When we do something, not everybody can return the favor. And I tell you, there is a reward in there. And you know what I'm talking about. I can't describe it. When you're able to do something for somebody that maybe they don't even know, they don't even know where it's coming from. Just those little secret deeds out of love. There's something to that. And Jesus knew that. And I'd like for us to look at some scriptures regarding these things. In 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks about this. And this is that love chapter. He goes on later about describing what love is. But before that, at the beginning of the chapter, starting in verse 1, he sets the stage. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. It doesn't say that if I give something that somebody, the recipient of that, doesn't benefit. They do. But it doesn't benefit me anything in God's eyes if I'm doing it for any other reason than just pure love. And he gives a few different examples, you know, that if he's preaching the gospel out of any other reason than love, other people might benefit, but he doesn't. In Luke 21, Jesus is giving the example of the poor widow. The rich are coming by and giving their contributions, and a poor widow gave two small mites. It would be as if somebody was giving in hundreds of dollars, tooting their own horn. Hey, does everybody see what I'm getting ready to give? And people are, wow, look at that contribution. And some poor widow gives a little bit of change. But Jesus praises her for that. He says, and he looked up, and this is talking about Jesus, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. She didn't have much, but she gave all that she had. The rich, it was just, they didn't give sacrificially. It was a drop in the bucket to them. And she, the poor widow, gave everything she had to help others. Jesus is praising that attitude. In John 13, this is after what we refer to as the Last Supper. It was the night that, this is just hours before, Jesus would be arrested, then stand trial, be crucified, an agonizing death. After supper, it said he laid aside his garments and put a towel around him and started washing the apostles' feet. Here is the Son of God from heaven washing the disciples' feet. A very humbling. I've had some people do some nice things for me, but no one's ever washed my feet. They have, metaphorically. People have done some unbelievable things for me in my life. But Jesus, the Son of God, is washing the apostles' feet. And he says in verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He's wanting them, you reciprocate this, and you do to others. You're not too good to do this. I've given you that example. And he's going to give them even a better example in a short time by giving his life. And later on in that chapter, he says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." If you display that love, that's going to be your calling card. That's going to be the hallmark definition of a Christian. Love for each other. Do you have love? And that's how people will know that you're a Christian. In Galatians 6:2, Paul tells us to bear one another's burdens, to share each other's loads. And I like to think that we do that here. When one of us are having a bad day or a bad week or a bad month or a bad year, that we lighten the loads of each other. One, just by being able to share with each other what's going on. And then, as brothers and sisters, to help pick up that load. And Paul says, bear one another's burdens. Take it on for yourself. Cheer that person up. Don't let them go through it alone. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul said, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." We're told, don't grow weary of doing good. And isn't that sometimes easy to do? Oh, I've given so much and I haven't gotten anything back. Where's the scripture? I forgot. Where's the scripture that we only give if we do get something back? I lost track of that one. Don't lose heart in doing good. And it says, as we have opportunity. I have found I never run out of opportunity. I never run out of opportunity. The opportunity is always there. I sometimes miss it with my eyes. I sometimes miss those opportunities, but the opportunities are always there for us. I'd like to end with this verse, Colossians 3:17. Paul writes to the Christians in Colossae, and he says, "And whatever you do," that kind of sums it up, "whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whether we're doing something in word or deed, do it by the name of the Lord. Not by us. Do it as if it's for God. As we go into this new week, as I hope we can be inspired a little bit through the scriptures to see the opportunities that life presents us. To help others, to lighten somebody else's load, to let our light shine, and to do it with the proper motives. Because we don't want that pat on the back to be our only reward. We want that reward to be from God. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to repent of sin, if there is a sin or sins in your life keeping you from fully serving God, repent from those sins. The message is clear. In Acts, the second chapter, when the people hearing Peter's message about how they put their Lord and Savior to death, that they were responsible for it. They cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The answer was simple. Repent and be baptized. If you're not baptized, if you haven't put your Lord on in baptism for the forgiveness of sins, Preston, in the Sunday morning Bible class, that point was made very clear. That our baptism is for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. If you have not been baptized under those circumstances, if you were baptized to join a group, if you were baptized because your friend was baptized, if you were baptized in order to be acceptable to your boyfriend's family or whatever, to please them, you weren't baptized in the right reasons. If you're looking for a church home, if you're a Christian and you've looked at some congregations around the valley and would like to work and worship with us, please let that be known. Whatever your need, if you'll come forward, let your need be known while Kurt leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.